Are you seeking satisfaction in a substance you get by in life? Is that taking its toll on you and you want out? Your search ends here on GNCR 93.6 FM. Stay tuned for Heart to Heart with Mike Hottie, a conversation that can change your life.
Welcome to another session of Heart to Heart with myself, Mike Hottie. It is great to have you listeners back on Good News Community Radio with us on 93.6 FM. We trust that last week's session was beneficial to each of you, and it is a privilege to have Luke Fisser in the studio. And we're going to talk about the whole thing of nutrition and how it is vitally important when we're speaking about the problems of alcoholism and drug abuse. Luke, just remind the listeners as to who you are and a little bit about your background.
How's it, Mike? Thanks for having me. As you've already said, my name's Luke. I work for a company called LiveSmart. We've been going for the last 15 years, and over that time we've had the opportunity to work with over 8,000 people and help them, coach them nutritionally and just speak into their life and help with nutrition-orientated decisions.
That's great. And I think for our listeners, it's very, very important as we discuss the whole thing of nutrition. I'd just like to remind our listeners that if you do have a WhatsApp query or comment that you'd like to make, you can actually send it through to me on 082-789-5973. I'll mention that number again, 082-789-5973. Right, on to the program. Luke, last week we chatted about using the analogy of a swimming pool to show how disease and deficiency thrive in a very acidic environment. In other words, when we achieve an environment of homeostasis where our bodies will function and thrive in the way in which God intended them to.
That's right, Mark. So With alcohol, obviously there's many diseases related to alcoholism and drug abuse, and from that many deficiencies obviously occur. Some of the most important deficiencies that I think would be worth mentioning is obviously the deficiencies of B vitamins, and those are in terms of your B2, which is also known as thiamine, B12, pantothenic acid, vitamin B6. And your folic acid.
Now, what actually is vitamin B? What does it actually do for me?
Vitamin B plays depending on which vitamin B, obviously, you're referring to, but a deficiency of most of your vitamin Bs would cause irritability, trigger depression, cause anxiety, affect your sleep, affect moods, focus, concentration, and also affect things like cravings and energy levels.
Okay, so it's actually vitally important that we have sufficient vitamin B in its different formats coming into our system.
Yes, that's correct.
And alcohol and drug abuse actually diminish this actual concentration.
Because alcohol acts as a diuretic, your vitamin Bs are water-soluble vitamins. So as alcohol is having a diuretic effect on our body, we're flushing all of our B vitamins.
Okay. Because that's it. You find that as people tend to consume more and more alcohol, so and so their toilet visits become more and more frequent.
Yeah.
It's a case of just flushing straight through the system.
Yeah.
And it flushes away all the good nutrients that are there in the body.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So what would a person need to actually consume? Now we're talking about a recovering alcoholic, a person who's coming off drugs. What should we actually be eating then to build up our reserves or replenish this vitamin B?
So when trying to take in sources of vitamin B through food, some of the better options to focus on is meat and dairy products.
Meat and dairy, okay.
So beef, liver, nuts, oats, oranges is also a good source. Pork, eggs are a very good source. seeds, legumes, and also peas.
Okay, so that's, there's quite a variety of things that a person can actually use there. And it's preferable to eat natural foods and foodstuffs like this than taking a supplement.
Depending on how well your gut is absorbing mm-hmm. your nutrients, as well as how well you're breaking down those foods that you're consuming, sometimes it might be beneficial to take a B vitamin or okay. B complex vitamin
as a supplement.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, that's vitamin B1, B2. That I can remember is called the riboflavin, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct, Mark. There was actually a study done in 1982. There was an article published that reported that everyone who had been admitted to a British psychiatric hospital was deficient in B2, and they were being okay. treated for depression.
So vitamin B2 is actually vitally important, from what I hear you saying here, for treatments of depression, and I think with depression will come a lot of your mood swings and that type of thing, which is very prevalent in the situation. And so this is something that's vital that needs to be replenished. And what can we eat to actually replenish this?
When trying to increase your B2, foods to focus on would be things like eggs, organ meats being liver and kidney. Mm-hmm. Asparagus is also a good source, and then as well as broccoli and spinach.
Broccoli and spinach.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. Now, there is another vitamin B as well. Which one is that?
Vitamin B3, which is also known as niacin. Mm-hmm. And that's the deficiency of niacin is usually one of the biggest causes of anxiety, depression, and also fatigue.
Mm-hmm. So fatigue, yeah, that's something that many of us actually suffer from, especially as you get older. I'll find that. So I should up my vitamin B3 levels, I think. There. What can I actually eat there to actually supplement B3?
Other than trying to age backwards, if you need to, if you need to work on the fatigue, you could look at introducing more turkey, chicken. Adding some peanuts to your diet. Mushrooms are also high in niacin. Okay. And then liver as well as tuna and your green peas.
Actually, Luke, you've actually mentioned mushrooms there. I've heard, now I'm just a layman in this and you're the expert here. I've heard that mushrooms have got virtually no protein or vitamin value at all. It's merely something to fill the body. But obviously you say here that it's a source of B3.
Yeah, that's correct. It's not one of the highest sources mm-hmm. of B3. And also being a fungal forming food, I wouldn't suggest it with issues of gut and leaky mm-hmm. gut, but it does increase the satiety of your meals without adding unwanted calories.
Okay. So what I'm hearing from you, we need to supplement our vitamin B in its different formats for healthy living in that. And what I'm seeing here is a case of really a balanced diet. A person, a recovering addict and alcoholic, must have a balanced diet. So if I say that I have fish and chips for breakfast, nice deep fried chips, and I have a pizza with a sausage rim pizza, and for supper I have a burger and I double size it, there's a good balance. Is that a good balance?
you've thrown me in the deep end, yeah, Mike. I'm not sure that's a question I'm qualified to answer.
Certainly, I'll be getting enough carbohydrates and putting enough calories in.
Yeah.
But I think it's a situation of we need to be wise in this type of thing. And as you've mentioned, these different food sources, I think we need to eat it in a more natural situation, rather than in a processed type situation. Luke, what other deficiencies can we expect?
Some of the deficiencies that would cause people to relapse or to look for alcoholic beverages in particular would be the vitamin C deficiency, mm-hmm. which is also a water-soluble vitamin. So okay. again, that's something that with the diuretic effect, you will be flushing out. And again, we know that vitamin C plays a vital role in our immune system.
Mm-hmm.
But a deficiency of vitamin C would also include things like confusion, apathy, loss of appetite, and weakness or insomnia.
Okay. So vitamin C isn't just a supplement to ward off flu and colds?
No, not at all. Another common deficiency that people would suffer with is a deficiency of magnesium. And magnesium alone is responsible for 179 different functions within our body.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the symptoms of a deficiency of magnesium would include things like, again, loss of appetite, weakness. Mm-hmm. It would relate or contribute to things like insomnia as well.
I think this is vitally important that we eat in balance, because obviously we know from experience that people who drink and drug, their eating habits tend to go right out the window. And they don't eat as well as they should, although we have found from experience, and medically they say that alcohol is something that can cause weight gain. A person can put on weight. And I know we have a situation where a lot of people look malnourished when they're drugging and drinking. But I think if a person's in a family situation still, in the home, and they're consuming a lot of alcohol and eating normally, they will tend to put on weight far quicker than somebody who's not consuming alcohol.
I think one of the biggest problems with alcohol and weight gain is that the calories that we get from alcohol are not calories that our body can digest and process efficiently. Mm-hmm. So what happens is with normal healthy carbohydrates, per gram of carbohydrate, you would get 4 calories per gram.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with alcohol sugars, per gram of alcohol sugars, you're getting 7 calories per gram.
So it's almost double.
It's almost double.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting thing as well is that when you drink whilst eating, alcohol takes metabolic preference. Your body wants to first try and get rid of the toxins from alcohol rather than trying to digest your food.
Okay.
And that as well is how food then becomes compromised, or the digestion of food becomes compromised.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, causing a lack of vitamins and minerals being absorbed back into the body.
Now, that makes sense to me. So when people, and in a South African context, when we joke about people with a beer boop or a beer belly, it is a reality.
Yeah. Often that beer boop or beer belly that you refer to, particularly in cases where alcohol has diminished the gut bacteria,
mm-hmm.
what would happen is as soon as there's an imbalance of healthy bacteria in your colon, yeast starts to build up in the gut and the colon. And through that, we start to get distended colons, a lot of mm-hmm. inflammation in the gut. And what happens then is as soon as we eat foods that react with that yeast in our colon, we become bloated straight mm-hmm. away. And then through that process, we get what's called or referred to as leaky gut.
Mm-hmm.
So once the buildup of toxins occurs in our colon, it starts to damage that colon wall. And then through that, the toxins from our gut start to enter our bloodstream. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, if our body can't get rid of those toxins, our body will then store it in fat cells.
In fat cells.
Yeah.
And that causes the weight gain.
Yeah.
And so from what you're saying here, Luke, we're going right onto another subject, which we're going to speak about in weeks to come, is about the whole health issues of alcoholism and drug abuse and the detrimental health factors that consuming these items can bring about. But we're concentrating today on good stuff, what we can eat, where the deficiencies are, and what we need to do to actually counter the deficiencies that possibly alcohol and drug abuse has brought about. What else is there, Luke, that a person would suffer a deficiency from?
I would say another big issue with alcohol and drug use is the deficiency of iron within our body.
Mm-hmm.
Depression is quite a big symptom and side effect of a deficiency of iron.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the other side effects noted with alcoholism and drug abuse is an iron deficiency,
mm-hmm.
Which would then cause a fatigue, affect circulation as well.
Mm-hmm. So it's important that we eat some foodstuffs that have got an iron content in it. And I think I'm going to hear something that will suit my Irish background here amongst the items that should be consumed. Luke, what can I eat to actually build up iron reserves in my body again?
Mike, some of the sources that are high in iron would be things like your beans, your lentils. Tofu is also high in iron.
Okay.
Baked potatoes, cashews.
That's the one that I was thinking of, baked potatoes. For an Irishman, that's always good news.
Yeah, and other than the baked potatoes, cashews, spinach, and then your fortified cereals would also be quite high in iron.
When you say fortified cereals, what do you mean by fortified cereals?
So most cereals that are produced today have been fortified with the nutrients that would otherwise be lacking from the common diet.
Okay, so these are cereals that are bought with added vitamins and minerals in it.
Yes,
already.
That's correct, Mike. Yeah.
So most cereals, you say, if I go into a supermarket, I would actually find them in a supermarket.
Sorry. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. And so besides the iron, and you've spoken about manganese, and that, what other symptoms are there?
Another important deficiency to note would be chromium. Okay. And the reason why this is such a problem is chromium is what your body utilizes to take energy up into your cells.
Mm-hmm.
And chromium is what regulates your blood sugar. So with inadequate amounts of chromium, basically what would happen is your body's ability to regulate blood sugar would be impaired. And as soon as that starts to happen, energy levels, focus, concentration would start to sway, as well as cravings start to increase.
And I think in a certain sect of our community, blood sugar is a very, very serious matter.
Yeah.
And so alcohol would actually aggravate that situation of a person's blood sugar levels rising, or would they be fall? Would they fall?
It can depend. Like we chatted about last week, because alcohol has such an impact on the function of our liver, as soon as our liver is not regulating blood sugar efficiently, and our pancreas is having to work harder to produce insulin to try and stabilize that blood sugar. For some people, this can result in insulin resistance,
mm-hmm.
which means that there would be far more sugar in their blood, and ultimately that could lead to things like diabetes.
Okay. So now that's chromium. What can I actually eat to actually supplement my source of chromium?
Well, your potatoes are back again.
Oh, that's good news.
but another good source of chromium would be broccoli, mm-hmm. which is very high in chromium. Whole grains, meat, apples, green beans, bananas, and onions are also high in chromium.
That's great to hear that. So we see here that there's a number of deficiencies that come about through alcohol and drug abuse in the situation. But listeners here, we can actually... Here, and we've heard of the types of foods that we can actually consume to actually replenish these reserves. Stay with us. We're going for a music break now, and we'll continue our chat afterwards. Welcome back to Heart with myself, Mike Harty, and of course in the studio with me is Luke Fisser. And we've been talking about the deficiencies that come about through consuming alcohol and drugs, and what these deficiencies are and what we can eat to actually replenish these reserves. Just before we continue speaking and chatting about what our diet should look like and what we should be eating particularly and all that, I'd just like to remind our listeners that if you do have a query or a comment that you'd like to make, you can send it through on a mobile telephone number 082-789-5973. Luke, you mentioned beforehand that we need to have a good balanced diet, and my idea of a balanced diet is certainly not a healthy one. There might be balance there, but it's not healthy. How can we eat healthy?
So I think this is such a controversial topic with so many different eating plans and diets available to us. I can really only comment on something that I personally have had a lot of success with and find it very easy to put into practice, and something that's definitely sustainable to follow. Maybe something that's also important to mention above the nutrients and the deficiencies that are created is to also talk about the essential fatty acids, which would obviously play a vital role in repairing brain function, especially due to damage from alcohols.
Now, you're talking about essential fatty acids. That would be your omega-3s and your omega-6s.
Perfect. Correct, Mark. So those fatty acids would obviously help repair brain, as well as they also do a very good job at helping repair our gut.
Okay.
And then our essential amino acids. Mm-hmm. Our essential amino acids would come from proteins, and trying to get a wide variety of proteins in our diet to cover all those 20 essential amino acids. But amino acids form part of our building blocks, so they make up the cellular structure of all of our cells.
Okay.
The amino acids also play a vital role in terms of rebuilding our neurotransmitters.
Okay.
Which play a key role in regulating moods, focus, concentration, helping us with sleep as well. And then finally, the glucose. Our brains, just like every other part of our body, need energy in order to function optimally. A little interesting side note is our brains use 20% of the calories our body consumes in a day.
All right.
Yeah.
So you mentioned calories, Luke. Ideally, what should a person's calorie intake be? I mean, this obviously depends on the person's, say, their age and how mobile they are in life and that, but your average person.
This, again, I think is such a controversial topic, Mark. The whole idea of a calorie itself is, firstly, how we figure out what calories are is we would take a food source. So let's say we take a piece of steak and we chuck that steak into a steel drum and we burn that steak.
Okay.
And in doing so, we're able to work out how much energy is in that piece of meat.
Okay.
But you could do the same thing with a plank of wood. It doesn't mean that your body is going to burn that steak like the steel drum does. So as much as calories can give us a guideline in terms of how much food we should be eating in a day, I think it's more important to focus on what we should be eating in a day. So once we can create a stable eating plan that we have consistency in, if we notice that we're not achieving weight loss through that consistency, then what we can do is gradually start to cut out the amount or the quantity of foods that we're eating.
Okay, so that's important. I think so. What you're saying is that we need to establish a good, healthy eating routine.
That's correct, Mark. So something that, like I said, that I've had a lot of personal success with is if we can keep it as simple as possible, it can remain as consistent as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So little guidelines that I like to try and follow is, obviously, water intake is vital.
So fluids, you need to take in fluids, water particularly.
Yeah, just like a fish won't thrive in a green swimming pool or a dirty pond, our blood cells, our body can't thrive when there's a buildup of acidity or toxins in it.
Okay.
So once you've covered the water, my next focus would be nutrient timing and how many meals in a day I'm going to be eating. So in order to try and regulate your insulin levels efficiently, I find it best to break your meals up into small portions throughout the day. And I personally like to eat every 2 to 3 hours.
So in what you're saying, it's preferable, especially for a recovering alcoholic or addict, to take more frequent small meals than, say, two big meals in a day.
Yeah. Just because of the fact that it would help regulate insulin levels, and then it removes the cravings. As soon as people have cravings, they tend to lean towards simple sugars and processed fats, which all, again, obviously make it more, it increases our craving for alcohol.
And of course, taking sugar will give us spikes, like a sugar spike. It's almost like taking a drug, give us a high, and then we hit a low when the sugar is absorbed or wears off, and then we want some more sugar, and you're back into a cycle there where typical addicts, but you're now taking sugar rather than anything else. And we're not talking about the sugars, the illegal sugars that you're getting on the market today. We're talking about the sugar that we put into tea, coffee, and find that it's in most processed foods and foodstuffs, it's there.
Yeah, and I think that as important as it is to not have alcohol or drugs, I think it should be as equally important not to be putting simple sugars into our body,
mm-hmm.
Mark.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in a lot of areas, in a lot of cases, that excess amount of sugar can often cause more damage than the alcohol itself does.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we know that with sugar, focus and concentration becomes a huge problem. And bouncing glycogen levels will often lead to low mood dips and depression throughout the day.
Okay. So mood swings would become very, very prevalent if a person is taking quite a lot of sugar.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so small meals, what would these small meals constitute?
So we chatted earlier about making sure that we're getting all of our essential nutrients,
mm-hmm.
and we obviously know that most of those nutrients we're going to get from our proteins, like we mentioned, the meats and the dairy products, and then from our fruits, seeds, nuts, legumes, and vegetables. So what I like to do is, of the 5 to 6 meals a day, I like to ensure that 2 of those meals contain a fruit,
okay.
and 2 of those meals contain vegetables. And again, trying to get a variety and mm-hmm. mixing them up. So if one day you're having an apple versus the next day you're having a banana,
mm-hmm.
variety is best.
And sorry, if I'm coming in there, you say vegetables as well. How should the vegetables be prepared? I'm thinking of a situation here where some people cook the vegetables to death. I'm actually saying cook all the nutrients and everything out of it, whereas I know some people prefer to eat their vegetables raw, and they say as soon as you cook it, you're losing the goodness or whatever.
Yeah, I think one of the best ways to cook your vegetables would obviously be to steam them.
Okay.
And then first option would be to eat them raw, mm-hmm. if you can stomach it.
Yeah. I know a colleague who often used to, he had a weight problem, but he used to snack on a stick of celery rather than a piece of chocolate, which I admired him for it, because I don't mind celery, but if
it's
I have celery,
chocolate.
It's got to have salt with it, and too much salt is not too good either. But he used to eat a stick of raw celery instead of chocolate, which I think obviously that's far healthier in the long run. And he would say, no, my vegetables must be raw. But so if they can be cooked, you say steamed is the best way.
Yeah, that's great. On top of making sure, ensuring that you're getting 2 portions of fruit a day, mm-hmm. 2 portions of veg a day, another important aspect is to make sure that you're having carbohydrates, healthy carbohydrates at all those meals. And again, I know there's a lot of controversy around the topic of carbohydrates, and some people do like to avoid carbohydrates completely out of their diet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still important to remember that your brain does require glucose.
Yes.
And often if someone has had a history of alcoholism, if their liver is not functioning at optimum, sometimes to be putting in excess fats and proteins, your body might become slightly impaired, mm-hmm. and not break those foods down,
okay.
efficiently. And often if you're not eating enough carbohydrates, your body would go into a state of ketosis. And
state of?
Of ketosis.
Now, what's that?
So that might pretty much the whole of idea of banting.
Okay.
Banting is designed to put our body in a state of nutritional ketosis.
Okay.
Which is very good for type 2 diabetics.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the majority of the audience, we're trying to find something that's sustainable, something that on the weekends when they're at family, mm-hmm. for a dinner, that they're not restricting themselves, and they don't feel like it's becoming more of a burden for them to eat well. So in that case, to try and eat healthy carbohydrates throughout the day, and if you have a protein source with those carbohydrates, even if that carbohydrate happens to be a high glycemic carbohydrate, as soon as you add a protein to that source, it becomes a low glycemic load meal.
Okay.
which again helps regulate your blood sugar throughout the day.
So rather than one or two big meals a day, a number of small meals, so it's almost like you spend your day snacking, as it were.
That's correct.
You don't sit down to a huge meal, but you have small quantities frequently through the day. And besides the fruit and the vegetables, what else should we snack on? I think because most people, when they snack, they think of things like, as we've mentioned, chocolate or a donut or sausage roll. Now, that to me is not the right way to go. It should be more your whole, like cheese and crackers rather than a sausage roll.
I think in today's world, because food has also become such a costly thing, to suggest that people eat nuts and a fruit every day for snack can be become quite expensive. So what I like to try and encourage people to do is whatever meal that they've had the night before, to break that up in two meals for the day.
Okay.
So you cook extra at dinner, and instead of having one big lunch, you separate your lunch into two meals. And usually by doing that, you're eating last night's leftovers, which usually contain vegetables, majority of the time it's some form of rice or starch. And then there's usually a protein with that as well. So my idea of snacking doesn't necessarily mean just eating some carrot sticks or having some carrot sticks dipped in hummus. If budget allows for it, you can start to really get extravagant and make your snacks quite interesting. As long as you try and stick to the idea that at every time I eat or every time I put something in my mouth, I'm going to aim to make the carbohydrate portion of my meal the size of my fist and the protein portion of my meal the size of my palm.
Okay.
And usually by doing that and then again adding those vegetables and fruits to our diet throughout the day, we usually do a good job at covering all the deficiencies that we spoke of.
Okay.
So if we're having those meals 2 to 3 times a day, a breakfast obviously then also is something that we need to focus on. And in terms of breakfast, I think number one choice is always oats. Oats definitely. Oats just help regulate our blood sugar throughout the whole day. And oats are also considered a superfood. So oats would contain a healthy portion of fats, proteins, as well as carbohydrates. And through the oats, we're getting a lot of those fortified nutrients that we spoke of earlier.
Now, when you say oats, Luke, would that be oats as in a muesli, or could it be cooked oats in a porridge?
It can be oats in a muesli. The problem with that is it's very difficult to find muesli that's not covered in sugar.
Okay.
So usually if muesli tastes nice, it's not good for you.
Oh, okay. All right. it's like chocolate versus the celery stick.
Exactly.
Okay. So oats is a good source.
Oats is a good source. Mm-hmm. Another excellent source for breakfast. And we know a lot of health fanatics are always eating the eggs, but eggs are one of the most nutritionally dense foods, and they also do help regulate and sustain blood sugar throughout the day by the good healthy fats found in them.
Now, just speaking about this, the different types of foods, I've heard it say that a recovering alcoholic and addict should avoid a lot of red meat because it's very hard to digest.
Yes, Mark.
You've mentioned there in the first part of the program where meat is essential, but there I think we need to be careful about the portions of meat we eat. And what about eggs? Are eggs easily digestible?
Yes.
So the eggs, preferably eggs as against meat for protein in that sense.
I think for me personally, I like to limit myself to having red meat twice a week. Usually on a Friday night, I'll have a good juicy steak.
Okay.
And that's, again, just to ensure that I'm getting my iron in through that red meat. But a lot of the time, like you say, with recovering alcoholics, due to the load on the liver and the body not being able to produce efficient enzymes to break down and metabolize something like red meat, what happens is the byproducts of that red meat start to ferment in the gut, and that too also contributes to the issue of leaky gut, which we spoke about earlier.
So this is a situation of having a good, healthy diet, having oats as like a mainstay for breakfast with other things. What about yogurt? Is yogurt a good source?
I think yogurt is something that we have to be very aware of. Today we're seeing all these flavored yogurts, and we're seeing a lot of low-fat products as well. The problem with that is as soon as you start to remove the fat from the dairy and you're processing that dairy, naturally it becomes more difficult for our body to digest.
Okay.
And usually what happens is in the process of removing fat from the dairy, we're adding sugar to replace it. And then especially with the flavored yogurts. So good yogurts would be your Greek yogurt, which is high in probiotics.
Okay.
And basically what happens is yogurts that are high in probiotics, the probiotics feed on the lactose in the yogurt. So people who suffer with lactose intolerance may be able to eat Greek yogurt and at the same time be getting all those helpful probiotics, which help restore the gut bacteria.
I think ultimately what we've been saying, listeners, is that what we need to do is have a good, balanced diet. We need to be careful with what we choose to eat. And rather, as Luke has recommended, rather than one or two big meals a day, and I know many people, their lifestyle lends to that, of having a very big meal. A lot of people have a very big meal late at night and then they sleep straight away. I don't know how that affects digestion, whether it's good or bad.
If you imagine your body like a whole bunch of parts, as soon as load exceeds the ability to compensate for it, mechanism won't work.
Okay.
So if your portion sizes are massive, your body can only produce so many enzymes to break down and metabolize food at any given time. So as soon as we have these massive portions of food, our body ends up not breaking that food down efficiently. And we have this excess amount of insulin being produced, which then causes us to want to go and sleep.
Okay. So what you're talking about is there's, as you've said, a number of smaller meals throughout the day, more frequent meals through the day, rather than one or two big meals a day. And this is vital, and we have a good balance to actually replenish all those vitamins and re-nourish our bodies, as it were. And in doing this, we'll be able to actually cope better with life. In closing, Luke, is there anything that you'd like to leave with the listeners?
I think for the most part, when it comes to trying to find out what to do to be healthy or how to live a healthy lifestyle, is to focus on the foods that God has put here for us to eat.
Yes.
If it comes out of a factory, if it's been extremely processed, you wouldn't go and put diesel into a petrol engine. So for us to put foods that God hasn't designed for our machines to function at optimum, for us to go put those into our body just seems like backward logic to me, to be honest, Mike. So I think if we can keep it simple and focus on the foods that God's put you, eating them in moderation, eating them regularly throughout the day to regulate our blood sugar, and to drink lots of water to flush any toxins that are remaining in our body from those undigested foods.
Thank you, Luke. I think it's a situation here, listeners, where, as God's word says, God has given us all things, but not all things are beneficial for us, and we should not be mastered by any of them. So let us strive forward. Let us seek the Lord. Say, Lord, what would you have me do? And we trust that this program has been beneficial to you and informative for you as to planning your eating habits, especially going forward with a recovering alcoholic or addict, that they and we ourselves might live a lifestyle that is glorifying God, and we are building ourselves up rather than breaking ourselves down. The Lord bless you all.